week. You'll remember that we did things a little differently for those, I think most of us were here last week. You know, I started off by sharing briefly from a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, from verses 19 to 22, where Paul addressed the church in Ephesus. And he basically reminded this young church in Ephesus of three things: to know their identity as fellow citizens and members of God's household, sons and daughters of the Most High, not foreigners or strangers, but people adopted into God's family. So he reminded them to know their identity, but to also know the head, right? To know their head of the church, who is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. It's all about him. We talked about not about church being about us. We exist as a church because of and only because of Jesus. And then the third thing that Paul reminded the church in Ephesus was that he reminded them to know their dwelling, that basically they are being built together as a church so that God could dwell among them, so that the Holy Spirit could come and live in that church, and that we also need to be a Spirit-driven church, not driven by the world or our own fads, but really relying on the power of the Holy Spirit as a church, and really fueled by him and in tune with him. And I also shared about the, you know, we've been talking about Next, and I kind of said, well, Next is now, and today is kind of like Next is Now part two, because, you know, we shared about the new leadership structure at New Vine and also the three ministry areas that we as a church will focus on, namely shepherding, global missions and local outreach, and administration. And then, you know, I invited all of us to break off into four different smaller groups based on ministry areas. And we basically answered three questions, you know, or four questions. But how do you see God working in this area of ministry? What's a strength in this area? What are ways that we can grow in this area of ministry? And how can we involve more people in this area of ministry? And so today, we're going to start off by basically having a quick summary, a quick recap of what you guys shared about in the different breakout groups. And we're not going to spend too much time, but it's just because we wanted everyone to hear all of the great discussion. And I know you could only be in one group at one time, and we only had time for everyone to be in one group. And so today is kind of like a report back out. And then after we hear from the different groups, I'll come up and then I'll share a passage of scripture, and then we'll go into the Lord's Supper. So that's the plan for today. But I am going to start off by asking, in this order, shepherding and then worship, global missions and local outreach, and then administration. So they're all going to come up. All of those leaders of those small groups, or at least one of them, will come up and share basically the rundown of your input and how you felt the Lord speaking to you in those particular areas of ministry. So the first one is shepherding. So I think Randy's going to come up and review with us some of those things.
Thank you for your participation last week. I think we got a pretty good sample for a strength. New Vine is a place where the Spirit is present, and the Holy Spirit is working among the people. New Vine is a caring community. New Vine has genuine people. New Vine's family time is a good time for community building and encouraging one another. And New Vine has small groups that focus on the Word of God. And of course, New Vine has dinners. That's the strength. Areas of growth. So we would like to see more non-believing visitors. We would like to see more mentorship opportunities to be mentored and grow. Some small ideas for small groups, to have separate men and women's groups, a meeting time prior to service rather than during the weekday, maybe a life group for flexibility and accountability, and a rotational style where you would meet as a group for one topic, and then you would switch over to another group for another topic. And the topics would include growing closer to God, raising godly children, and workplace and evangelism. And to involve more people, we would like to see the younger kids act as big brothers and big sisters to help kids transition from one program into another program. We'd like to build more relationships and connections with one another. We'd like to have more participation for the prayer in intercession. And we would like to have more outdoor gatherings outside of the church setting, like breakfast, like we used to do. Someone said dumpling night. And also to just to know and identify the strengths of the body. But yeah, I really appreciate the output. I mean, it was really cool because, you know, we had people who were just visiting, who participated, and we also had people who had been here from the very beginning. So it was something that everybody contributed to.
All right, the area of worship.
Okay, so we were part of the worship group. So how is God working and strengths in the area, specifically the ministry of worship? We said that worship is important because it puts people's hearts in the right place. It prepares us. It prepares us spiritually. We said another strength is that our worship leaders have a passion for true, authentic worship. Worship is important because it's the foundation for everything that we do. It's like the first defense. It's one of the most important ministries, and worship is where healing happens. Some of the ways that we can grow in worship ministry is recruiting more people. One idea that was thrown around is that in our small groups, there can be worship in our small groups, and maybe the person that is leading worship in the small group can also be part of the worship team. Trainings, whether that's us giving trainings or us attending trainings or conferences, can also be a way for those that are interested in worship that they can come and be a part of that, and then they can commit. Having more time to play together, jam, grow, and learn. Equipment maintenance with the different things that we have on stage, maybe utilizing the closet in the main chapel, using mixers for in-ear. How can we involve more people? Have small group members do worship. Creating opportunities for people to learn and to be on worship team. It's okay to not be an expert. Maybe more types of instruments, trainings for simple ways to contribute. People can play and jam with us during practice. The general idea of this slide is that we wanted to give more of an invitation or open communication that if New Vine members are interested in worship, that they can come and approach and talk to us, and we can figure out ways to involve more people in the ministry of worship. So if you ever have a passion for worshiping the Lord, and talk to us, talk to me, and yeah, there's always opportunities in this area to serve. But yeah.
Okay, global missions and local outreach, Margaret and Kelvin.
Okay, for missions and local outreach, so we talked about a lot of things, and actually missions is really an extension of worship, right? Because we're really trying to draw more people to come and worship God. So I think one of the things that we really rejoiced in is just the fact that God has already been doing a lot. He's been actively drawing people to New Vine. Many of you are here not because of anything special that we in the church already did, but you know, God has drawn you by various means. So I think we just wanted to acknowledge that first and foremost, God is already doing a lot of work. And through that work that he has already done, we rejoice that we are a multicultural group, right? We have, I think someone mentioned, we have so many languages, so many nationalities represented, even just in our relatively small, you know, numerically body here, right? But even then, we see so much. So I think that is a characteristic that we want to leverage, especially as we then go forth to global missions, right? I think just with all the different diversity of backgrounds, we have a lot to offer. There's a lot that God can use, and we can also sharpen one another through that. We also talked about the fact that there's a lot of people individually already within our congregation that's doing evangelism, doing, you know, like Lynn going on short-term missions. I mean, there's so many of you who are already participating in all this, and so that's something that's amazing. But we felt like as a body, we wanted to do more together, right? To really do it as a corporate body and really figure out how we can do it in a more systematic way that involves small people.
Next slide. Okay, so there were a lot of ideas around local outreach.
like interest groups or forming new groups or new things to do that is not just like here's the gospel, take it, but it's really about building relationships and being together and living life together. So just some ideas are like biking or hiking or study groups, or maybe even taking the New Vine dinner idea to the outside. Like, how could we invite more people in, or maybe we can have it outside. We don't really know what that looks like yet. We also feel that we can partner with Mountain View a lot more, specifically Mountain View, since we're here. What are some ministries that are already happening, and maybe we could get more of us to engage and sign up for volunteer events and things like that, just to engage and know the people who live around us. There is one mention of just more training in general. What are some ways that we could be more intentional every day? Maybe just the way we talk, or just having like our testimonies ready to share. There's a little bit of training I think that's possible. And we also touched on global missions. Definitely the idea here is we could leverage the Alliance Network. There's a lot of ways to plug in. But we also talked about why we want to go on global trips. I think it's about getting to know the people groups around the world and gaining empathy for maybe a culture that is so unlike our own. Having shared experiences, bringing maybe some skills even, very practical, like maybe some skills that we have from the workplace or school or whatever, and bringing it into a new place. I think it's the Native American, yeah. I mean, someone just had a very really interesting idea, like why don't we reach out to Native Americans just in our California or nearby proximity. So it's very exciting. I think there's a lot we can really explore. So the next slide, we want to invite people to join us. We're going to set up some sort of monthly like dinner table upstairs just for people interested in missions. Once a month, we'll just sit around, grab a dinner, sit down, and just talk about different topics. So we'll figure out how to do that, but definitely join us. We want to hear everyone. Like, missions is for everybody. How do we include more people? I think really the key is to have more diverse activities. Like if you can't travel for a missions trip, that's fine. There's so many ways to do outreach. It could even be a newcomers group, right? How do you follow up with new people who come to New Vine? Like that could be something very simple. So we want to just capture all these ideas and offer it to everybody as an opportunity to do outreach. Yeah, I think that's it.
For administrative, one other way I look at it is planning or operations. And so, the strengths. So, so far we believe that we're doing well in this area. One example is our dinners and how the different teams every week work together. How there's so many people involved currently and the teamwork. Second thing is the prominence of the welcome table. We pride ourselves, we want to be a family, we want to be welcoming, we want meaningful community. And so really it sets the tone, this welcome table that we have out there, the name tags that we use so we know everyone's names. So we say that a strength of our church is that yes, our hospitality, which starts with the welcome table. And again, the wonderful dinners themselves every week, how we can spend time getting to know each other over a meal. Those are the strengths. How can we grow in this area? Well, the leadership, including Vivian and myself, we want, even though we'd love to do everything, I think there's a better way that if we can connect with each one of you, we can be more like a shepherd. And that you in turn could become a shepherd of others. The second thing would be that if we had a list, a complete list of tasks, a detailed list, so that everyone could take a look and find something that you'd like to do, then you could even the large task can be broken down into smaller tasks, so that more people could be involved. Another idea of ways we could grow is that I know a lot of people are serving, but if there was something fun that we could do together, even more fun than serving, but we could have a party together and have fun, really, that would help to build our community. Ways we could grow in this area, the greeting team, that we could have more people outside greeting newcomers, and something about our dinners. So yes, something similar to what we just heard from the missions group, that we could have dinners, we could publicize our dinners, and that some other people in the community who don't currently come and join us in the service, they could come join us for dinner, and in that way we could reach out to new people, and they would be fed physically, and not only that, they would be fed spiritually. Thank you. Oh, sorry, there's one more thing. How can we involve more people? We could have an event, maybe something on a any given Sunday. We could say we have an opportunity to participate, maybe in music, the music team, maybe the AV kitchen, that sort of thing. And that would be a way for you to take a look at, see what's being done and how you could help. All right, thank you.
Great, thanks everyone. So, you know, I think last week you guys were really, really engaged, and I want to thank you for being so engaging. And there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm as to what God is doing in our midst. I think we basically are able to celebrate some of those things. You know, some of those things, you know, what's been going well, what are the positive things, what do we praise God for? Truly, God is working among us in the last 3 years that we've been meeting. But we also want to ask the Lord to show us how we can grow in each of these areas, right? You know, we don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to get comfortable. We want to continue to follow where God is leading us, where the Holy Spirit is showing us and giving us opportunities to grow. And so if you have other things that perhaps God is placing on your heart, or maybe you weren't able to join one of the groups that you wanted to join, you can continue to share those thoughts with any of the people that you saw up here. You know, part of last week's exercise was to engage all of us, that it wouldn't just be a few people who kind of like threw out ideas or really, you know, said, oh, this is where I feel God leading us, but really to hear from our community, from our family as a whole. But to also realize that we are all part of God's family, and that we're not just a spectator or a consumer. Like, all of you are critical. Each one of you is vital. And you don't just come to watch, you know, but you come to participate in what God is doing. You know, we're all involved in being part of this body, and it takes really all of us. But because you and I are part of this church, no church is perfect. And New Vine is not perfect because you and I are part of it, right? Because we're not perfect. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but New Vine is not a perfect church. And there is no church on earth that is perfect, right? We're all human. We all have failings. We all have shortcomings. But it's only by the grace of God that we are able to be together, that we are able to love one another, that we are able to forgive one another, and show mercy and be compassionate to each other. So I just want to remind you that, you know, we've been dreaming about what's next. I just want to say right now, we're not going to be a perfect church, okay? And don't expect it to be a perfect church, because you're in it and I'm in it too, okay? But we will seek the Lord together, and we will stay true to what God's word says. So that's really our desire, is that even though we're not perfect, we will seek the God who is perfect, and we will trust in him to lead us onward, okay? So I just want to ask you to lay aside any of your expectations, okay? Because I know some of us, oh, I wish it was like my church in college, or oh, I wish it was like my church back at home, or perhaps you may have had some bad experiences with the church in the past. I want to ask you to lay that aside, and really pray with us as God leads us into this third and fourth year together, okay? So, I want to go over a passage of scripture from the book of Hebrews. So last week we talked about Ephesians. Today I want to just briefly talk about a passage from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. I'm going to ask all of us to stand and read this together in one voice. Let's go. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you. Please be seated. So I really felt that these verses were really fitting for us as a church. You know, as New Vine Community Church, as the next steps forward, you know, as a church, there were five things that was mentioned in here that we need to strive to do. And I'm just going to quickly go over them. The first is in verse 22, which says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. So drawing near to God. Okay, well, it seems a bit obvious that, well, I mean, isn't that why we're here? Like, of course, you know, we're believers. Of course we want to draw near to God. We want to draw near to God so that God can draw near to us, just like what it says in James chapter 4, verse 8. But let me ask you this. Are you closer to God today than you were, let's just say, a year ago? Are you really taking steps forward to draw near to God? You know, what kind of steps are you taking to draw near to God? How are we able to help each other to draw near to God? Has New Vine, as a church community, helped you draw near to God? If you don't think so, come talk to me because I want to hear more. But that's really our goal, that we want to help each other, just like the writer in Hebrews says that, let us draw near to God. That's why we're here. We're here to help each other draw near to God, to Abba Father. Okay, so that's the first let us statement. Okay, the second thing in verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we possess. You know, it says unswervingly, right? I mean, a lot of times we know, of course, as believers, we profess this living hope that we know. Of course, our living hope is Jesus, right? We sing about it all the time. You know, Jesus, he's our living hope. But a lot of times we know it in our heads. We know that Jesus is our hope in our heads. But then when it says unswervingly. So when trials come, when you know, things kind of knock us during the week, are we able to hold on unswervingly to that hope of Christ? Are we able to remind ourselves, to encourage each other that, hey, Lynn, even though you had car problems this week, that Jesus is your living hope. You know, that you don't have to worry, you don't have to fret, that we remind each other that we have Christ as our cornerstone and he is our living hope. You know, are we holding on to the hope of Christ? Or are we letting our circumstances, whatever the enemy may toss in front of us, get the best of us? Are we letting our doubts and our fears swerve us so that we forget who our living hope is? How can we live in this hope of Jesus when difficulties come? And that's really what New Vine is all about, to help each other claim onto that hope, to remind each other about that living hope that we have in Jesus, that anchor that we have in him. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The third let us statement. And a lot of you know that Cheryl and I, we have three kids, and and they range from age from 3 to 7. And most of the times in the Thieu household, it's pretty chaotic. Someone's always screaming, someone's always crying, someone's always hitting. And it's a joy to be their parents, but sometimes it's rather trying and frustrating. And pray for me this week. This is a plug for myself. Shell's on a plane to Madison, Wisconsin. She's not coming back till Thursday. So pray for God's mercy over me over the next few days. But anyways, I digress, but this verse about spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. A few weeks ago, Esther, who just started kindergarten, she, I guess in their class, they get these little fuzzies for good behavior. And so, you know, if they do something well, or if, I don't know, they behave, the teacher gives them these little fuzzies. And a few weeks ago, she had this market day where I guess you can buy stuff with these little fuzzies, so like pencils and bookmarkers and all that stuff. So she was really excited because she had a market day. But then when I picked her up from school, she told me, she was like, look, I had market day. And not only did she buy things for herself, but she also bought things for her siblings. Like the ones that she harasses day in and day out, the one that she steals from. She like bought a little bookmarker for Josiah because he loves to read. She bought a little pencil for Enoch, even though he doesn't know how to write yet. But the thought that she actually thought about her siblings really warmed my heart, right? And then on that same day, so I pick them up. I pick up Esther first from Chinese school. And then I go to Josiah's classroom. On that same day, it was Johnny Appleseed Day. So they had all this stuff about different apples. And unbeknownst to me or to them, he brought home apples for each of his siblings. But I was so touched as a parent, because even though they're like fighting and, you know, it's like cats and dogs fighting, like they loved each other enough to remember their siblings. They basically had love and good deeds towards their siblings. And I said, well, what'd you get for me? Of course, nothing, but that's okay. I mean, the fact is they care for each other, right? And I think a lot of times that's how God sees us as his children. Are we caring for each other? Are we fighting like cats and dogs? Sometimes that happens, okay? We're not perfect, remember? Because you and I are in the church. But are we spurring each other on towards love and good deeds? And not just in this room, okay? It's nice to love those who love us back. What's more difficult is to love those who don't like us at all, or who we don't even know. Like Lynn, she's going to be on this mountain trying to love people that she's never even met before, right? Or even like outside in our community. Like, how are we able to love and spur one another on towards good deeds, right? And sometimes when you share stories, that encourages me. When we hear people and when we hear testimonies of what God is doing, that spurs us on to more love and good deeds. And this is what the writer in Hebrews is saying, is reminding them to consider how we as a church can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's really a tangible expression of God's love for us. How can you and I spur each other on towards love and good deeds? You know, these three letter statements, it's talking about us. It's not just one or two people, but again, it's all of us. It's saying to us as a church, these are things that we should be doing as a body of Christ. It's not just the leadership team. It's not just those that work with kids. It's not just those of you in the help out in the kitchen. It's all of us, right, as a church. And then in verse 25, it says that we should not give up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, right? That we each week, we meet together, we gather together, we come together, we worship, we corporately worship, we pray together, we break bread together, we eat together, we hear the word of God together, we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We encourage each other, right? This is what it's really all about, that we're in this together. God never wanted us to be alone as his people. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And we're not meant to live life on our own, but we are meant to live life in context of a community, of a family of God. We should not give up meeting together. We should come together each week and be in God's household. But also in verse 25, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging one another. When was the last time that you said a word of encouragement to the one sitting next to you or to the one that you had dinner with last week? When was the last time that you or me said an encouraging word? Right? This is what we need to practice as a body. It doesn't matter if you don't know the other person. Even a smile, even a hello, even a how was your week? Hey, you know, I heard you share blah, 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 blah last week about family time. How's it going? You know, sometimes it just takes one question or one thought of concern, and that will make someone's day. But encouraging one another, right? This is really what we should be about as a church, as a body, right? Drawing near to God, holding on to the hope, how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, and encouraging one another. Those five things, quite simple, but sometimes hard to do, right? Sometimes hard to put into practice, right? You know, on the first Sunday of the month, we have been observing communion, or the Lord's table. And earlier in this chapter, or in this passage, in verse 19, it talks about God giving us confidence to enter the most holy place. Why? How? By the blood of Jesus, right? You know, back in the day, in the tabernacle, there was the holy place, but then there was a curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. From the most holy place. So people could not enter into the most holy place because God was so holy, and only once a year when the priest offered sacrifice could the priest go in. But because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us, it says in the Gospels that after he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus was the one who provided a way for us to enter in to the most holy place so that we could have direct access with the Abba Father, with the perfect Father who is blameless and holy, right? Verse 20, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, the great priest being Jesus, let us draw near to God. And we cover the last few verses, right? But basically, it's only because of the work of Jesus that you and I can be here today. It's only because of his death on the cross, his broken body, his shed blood, that we can have a relationship with our Abba Father. And so once a month, as a church family, we come together and we remember, we celebrate, we reflect on what Jesus has done for us. And so tonight, it's very fitting that this passage is weaved in to how God would want us to be as a church body. Not only to remember Christ's work on the cross, the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, but also how he wants us to be as a family of his, as a church community. In a little bit, you know, we're going to have a time to remember, you know, but this is Jesus's, the bread represents Jesus's blood, a body that was broken for us, right? So that our sins were nailed on that cross. Christ took that place for us, right? And then the cup, the grape juice, represents the blood of Christ that was shed, the new covenant, that because of Jesus's blood, we can enter into a relationship with God, that no longer are we slaves to sin, but we can be his sons, his daughters. We've been adopted. We've been grafted on to his branch. You know, the Lord's Supper or communion is really for those of us who have profess Jesus as Lord and Savior. For those of us who believe in Jesus. So in a little bit, I'm going to invite you to come and we'll pray and we'll remember Jesus together. But for those of us who may have not put our faith in Jesus yet, I just want to ask you to observe. But if you want to put your faith in Jesus, you can come up and talk to one of us. We would love to pray with you and really welcome you into God's family. But let's just all stand and take a moment to reflect and to thank Jesus for what he has done for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. God, we thank you for this privilege to come before you, even tonight, to come together and celebrate as a church body what you did on that cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus, we thank you that you left your home in glory to come down and dwell among man, to be fully God, but also fully man, to go through what we've experienced on a daily basis, to give up your life for us, to love us, to have your body broken, and to have your blood poured out for us. God, we thank you for this great love that is sometimes so hard for us to fathom. Father, we remember your work for us, and we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for your broken body and your shed blood. So when you're ready, I just want to invite you to come up and take a piece of the bread, dip it into the cup, and partake and remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for this time that you have given to us as a family of yours to remember that great work on the cross 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. Father, help us to understand, Lord, what that meant. Lord, help us, Lord, to reflect, Lord, your love for us. Father, we pray that even as a church community, as a church body, that you would help us to live, Lord, in that love. That, Father, we would be able to love one another. God, that we would come here and desire to draw near to you. That, Lord, you would help us to live out this love and good deeds towards one another, but also to our community, Lord, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our classmates, Lord, even to people that we don't know. Father, would you continue to teach us what it means to love? Father, teach us how to live lives of sacrifice. Lord, that you would help us to know how you want us to be as a church, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for the work that you are doing in our midst. Father, we ask, Lord, that even as we continue to seek your heart, that you would guide us, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to build up your body here, that, Lord, we would not just be concerned about ourselves, but we would look out, Lord, to those that still have yet to hear you. So, Father, we ask, God, that you would bring our friends, Lord, that you would bring our neighbors, that you would bring our relatives, Lord, Lord, to your saving knowledge, so that they too can partake of this communion table. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you did, Jesus, on that cross for us. And we ask, God, that you continue to go before us, even as we break bread together upstairs, even as we share a meal. Father, we pray that you would bless the food before us and bless our time together, Lord, that we would be able to encourage each other even around the dinner table tonight, that, God, we would get to know one another, that we would really be able to be a true community in you. God, we know that this is only possible because of what you have done and because the bond that you have that binds us. Thank you, Jesus, for we ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.